America's first community-supported public television station was born when students went door-to-door collecting $2 donations from their Pittsburgh neighbors. Today, you have the chance to keep that tradition going with your donation. We're celebrating Public Media Giving Days, a time for you to show your pride for WQED and for your community. Give any amount that's right for you, and WQED's Board of Directors will match your support dollar for dollar up to $15,000. Your support will ensure WQED can continue reflecting our community in our programs and services for many years to come. Make your donation now at wqed.org/pmgd, and we'll send you a one-of-a-kind Mr. Rogers vinyl sticker as our way of saying thanks.
I'm Kamara Dorsey, and you're listening to WQED's Voice of the Arts, and today I'm excited to have Wynn Quintet, Amani Wins, with us today. So how's everybody doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
So we have a lot of people in the studio right now, so can we just start off by having everyone say your name and what instrument you play in the group?
My name is Brandon Patrick George, and I play the flute.
My name is Monica Ellis, and I play the bassoon.
I'm Kevin Newton, and I play the horn.
Toyin Spellman-Diaz, I play the oboe.
I'm Mark Dover, I play clarinet.
Awesome, amazing. I love when the studio's filled up. So tomorrow, Saturday, September 24th, you guys are actually doing a performance with Chamber Orchestra of Pittsburgh. So can someone just tell us a little bit about that performance and what people can expect?
Sure. This is Monica speaking. And before we start, I am so excited to be here at WQED Studios. I am a Pittsburgh native, grew up right on the Hill District. And so to be back in Pittsburgh under the auspices of this entire residency with the Chamber Music Pittsburgh organization is so exciting. And I mentioned that because the concert tomorrow night with Chamber Orchestra of Pittsburgh is a part of this larger residency that we are doing. Kristen Linfante of Chamber Music Pittsburgh had the vision and the forethought to put together this visiting artist residency. And she asked us to not only be the first group that would be a part of this residency, but also create it. And so we have been really excited to partner with all sorts of other arts organizations here in my beloved city of Pittsburgh. And so this concert tomorrow culminates our third visit. We actually were here earlier in the spring and we'll be back in December. So about the concert with Chamber Orchestra of Pittsburgh, we got to know Eddie and Andrew of Chamber Orchestra of Pittsburgh through these conversations about creating the partnerships. And immediately we were attracted to their mission because it really falls in line with Imani Wins's mission. They go about programming music that folks haven't heard before. And why not? Let's really think about music and composers that are not what you might hear often. I believe their first concert earlier this fall, just this month, in fact, they started with some Messiaen piece. And someone said, why would you start an entire series with Messiaen? And Eddie said, why not? Why on earth would we not do that? It's amazing music, iconic composers. So anyway, this program tomorrow goes right in line with that mission and with that thinking. So we are performing with musicians of the Chamber Orchestra of Pittsburgh. We're doing a dextet, so for 10 players, a piece by our former horn player, Jeff Scott, who is an amazing composer and arranger. He presently teaches horn at Oberlin, and it's called Sacred Women. And he wrote this piece some years ago for Imani Wins to play in situations like this, collaborative circumstances, and it celebrates different African deities that actually through the diaspora have emerged around the world. And so we're doing one movement of this really cool work, again entitled Sacred Women, and then we're doing a Wind Quintet Concerto with string orchestra by the German composer Boris Blocker. Boris Blocker. Now, this was a composer that we were not familiar with. He wrote in the 1960s. It's a very angular, sort of jagged piece in many ways, but extremely virtuosic and also very approachable. Somehow the music, I think, will be able to speak to all listeners. And then they close out the program with a Brahms serenade. So there you go. You're really juxtaposing periods, styles of music, and bringing together so many different genres and you know, just moods, really. So we're super happy to be on this program and can't wait for Pittsburgh to come on out tomorrow night at 7:30, Road of Shalom over in Shadyside.
Amazing. Awesome. So also, in addition to your show tomorrow, you guys are actually going to be back in Pittsburgh a little later this year in December, and you're going to have a show on December 5th. Can we speak a little bit to that? So for the people who may not be able to make tomorrow, they can make December 5th.
We'll be back on December 5th to culminate the residency with Chamber Music Pittsburgh. We're going to be doing some more activities with some of our partners that we've established through the residency, some of which are Three Rivers Young People's Orchestra, Pittsburgh Youth Symphony Orchestra, the Youth Connect 2, which is the chamber music portion of Tripo and Paiso. And so, but our concert, December 5th at PNC Theater, and that is a new space, in fact, that Chamber Music Pittsburgh has been putting on the concerts in. And so we're really excited to be in that space for the first time. So please come back out on Monday, December 5th to see Imani Wins in full concert recital.
So you kind of spoke a little bit about Chamber Music Pittsburgh and the residency there. So if anyone else wants to, you know, take a swing and say just some things that you've been doing with them, like the education piece and just teaching young people. And yeah,
I can jump in and talk about that. So this is our third visit to Pittsburgh this year, and it's been a really remarkable time. I think what's really special about this residency is that ensembles, soloists, usually show up in a town for one night and play a concert and go home or on to the next town the next day. But this residency is so special, one, because it's Monica's hometown, and so we're always happy to be here, but that we're also having the opportunity to build connections with various institutions and organizations in Pittsburgh. During the first few visits, we had time to coach students in chamber music. They came prepared in their ensembles, and we spent many hours with them. They not only played in wind quintet configurations, but we heard string players, we heard pianists. That was a really, really awesome time. We were at Duquesne. Not only did we have people from the youth orchestra programs and chamber music programs, but we also had some students from Duquesne who were in attendance for that, which was really, really special. During this visit, we spent time at Carnegie Mellon yesterday, visiting, talking about the business of music, talking about entrepreneurship. And today, Monica will be back at Carnegie Mellon to work with the wonderful bassoon studio there. So it's a really wholesome residency where we're not only here to play concerts, but we're actually working with all sorts of students throughout the area and helping make connections through chamber music and connecting Chamber Music Pittsburgh with the greater community.
Amazing. You already talked about CMU and teaching there. So how has that been, being able to teach the young people, like the next generation? If you want to speak a little bit to that, how has that been, if anybody wants to talk about their experience?
Yeah, it's been a really enlightening experience in a lot of ways. We kind of divvied up the responsibilities of going to the classes, so we got to see a variety of different types of classes that happened. In particular, we went to a class, two classes, where we talked about entrepreneurship, and we really gave some insight into what we do, how the group was formed, what we believe in, and trying to give some guidance to the students to help them if they want to burgeon into chamber careers or solo careers. And really, the information that we shared was truly applicable to all musicians, young musicians, as they start to build their careers. And then the last class that we went to was this really, really special student-created class that is a continuation of the Lullaby Project, which is created by Carnegie Hall originally. And in this class, they are working with a doctor that works with people that are trauma survivors and are on the path of giving birth. And they work to create these songs and to learn the correct and best practices to work with people that are in that situation in order to create music that will heal and bring joy and love into their life as they approach giving birth or as they have had children very recently. And so it was really, really meaningful and impactful to talk with those students and really get to get a picture of what they're doing and try and give some of our thoughts and our wisdom. And it was really just a beautiful open conversation and speaks to the amazing work that students are able to do at Carnegie Mellon.
I like that. I love the music heals piece. I really connect with that because I believe that music does heal. So I love that. So as a group, you guys are doing astounding work. Your latest album, Brutes, was nominated for a Grammy. So what is the story behind that album? Because I listened to almost all of the songs and I was like, this is dope. Like, I was like, this is amazing. So if anybody wants to take a swing at that and say, like, what's the story behind, you know, that work?
The world has changed a lot in the past 5-6 years. There's been a rise in the need for music to speak more directly to the times in which we live. And so we decided when we were putting together the repertoire for that Grammy-nominated album, Brutes, we wanted to make a more clear statement than just of solidarity with people who were fighting specifically for social justice change. It was just a moment that we felt that we needed to say something directly. So Imani Wins has been around for 26 years now. So we have a large repertoire, and we've not gotten to record everything that we have had the hand of creating. We commission a lot of new works, especially by composers of color, but also not necessarily, but works that speak to people of all different races, religions, social norms. And so we had this rep that was sitting there waiting to be recorded. There are three pieces on there. One is by a woman whose family is from India. It's called The Light is the Same. Her name is Rina Esmail. She's really super coming up right now. But the idea behind the piece was that when we're looking at the constellations, in different societies, we create constellations out of the stars we see and the planets. And there are different ideas behind those different constellations, but the light of those stars is the same. So that's the idea behind that, a kind of realizing that we all have different takes on things, but they're all beautiful and wonderful. So that was one piece on there. Another piece was by a man who we commissioned. His name was Frederick Jevsky, who's a really well-known kind of communist social justice composer. And he wrote a lot of great piano music, but he's also very well known in the very contemporary music classical world, but not outside of that. And so we decided to ask him to write us a piece about a wonderful black historian by the name of John Hope Franklin. This was commissioned through Duke University, where John Hope Franklin taught. And John Hope Franklin was a historian who talked about the Reconstruction period in American history, where people of color were finally able to get positions, elected positions, and positions of power in government in the South. And he taught the best practices of that time and tried to relate it to the times we were living. You know, like, kind of like, how could I say this? The justice of history.
Okay.
You know, that's what he taught. And so Jevsky put that into a piece. And that piece was called Sometimes. It was a deconstruction of the spiritual Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child. Mm-hmm. And that featured a great singer, on that piece. And it actually, because we try to make music personal, speaking on that recording was John Hope Franklin's son. So it was really an amazing moment. And then the third and final piece on there was by another Indian American composer by the name of Vijay Iyer. He's a great jazz pianist and composer. And he wrote us a piece about, he was in a residence in Florida in 2015, I believe. And that was right around the time of the trial of the murderer of Trayvon Martin. And so it was about the Stand Your Ground law that allows people to carry weapons or to defend what they think they need to defend violently and extreme violence way. And so it was kind of, even though that's a pretty heavy thing for a classical music piece, he found a way to bring some uplifting part of that to the music. It's a sextet for wind quintet plus plus piano. So that's the music on there, and that's the kind of stuff we're doing right now. We're programming not just social justice pieces like this, but we have programs about how people can have lots of hardships and can come out from there. There's just lots of ways to connect with people through music, and it doesn't have to be just through making pretty sounds. There can be moments behind it. There can be thought behind it, and that's what we brought to CMU. That's what we brought to Duquesne, to the Three Rivers Young People's Orchestra, to all of these organizations we're partnering with in Pittsburgh. We're coming with the idea that you have the power to make meaningful music, and you have the power to make meaningful connections through music. And so let's make that happen right now. You don't have to wait. Let's do it right now.
Wow. I'm like speechless because I'm like, this is touching me because it's needed. It's needed. So just want to say thank you all for what you're doing in the music world. So you talked a little bit about kind of like your heart and mission, the group's heart and mission, kind of like for social justice, telling people like, make the music now. It's needed. So if anyone wants to kind of touch upon like Amani Winds as a group and like your heart and your mission and why do you all do what you do?
I mean, it's such a question that we get asked a lot, I think, but it's hard to answer because for me personally, there's so many different reasons. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, with all of these things that Toyin was speaking of and our mission to make meaningful connections through music, which is part of our mission statement, I think on top of that, like, all of us just all wanted to make a living playing music, and we all feel very blessed to be able to do that. And I think that in our, you know, it's getting harder and harder to make a living in music that's outside of the traditional model, which is like we go to music school, conservatory, and then you come out of school and you get a job playing in an orchestra, and that's amazing, and we have so much reverence for that. But I think all of us had a desire to kind of look past that and find other ways to come together and make a career for ourselves. And Imani Winds has been doing just that. So I can speak personally for myself. I feel every day sitting in this chair is a huge privilege to be able to make music, the music that I want to make, and to be able to make music that's outside of the traditional path. That's something that I realized from a pretty young age that I was a dream of mine. So and playing in Imani Winds really is a dream come true in that sense. So I think we're all kind of going about this this life that we live as touring musicians, realizing that there's a lot of responsibility that comes with the privilege that we have as chamber musicians. And I think part of why we find it's so important to champion different social causes and to look past just the notes on the page, part of that, at least for me, comes from the kind of reverence and respect and privilege that I feel as a musician. And so, like, when we go to different towns like Pittsburgh and we share our music with the community, that's kind of, a distilled reflection of that privilege. And, like, we feel that we are in a position to be able to kind of shape the next generation of musicians. And so our commitment to both outreach and also education and working with the next generation of musicians, I think we're trying to kind of show everyone that, yes, it's possible to do what we're doing. You guys are going to be the ones that, the next generation is going to be the ones that are, you know, we're passing the torch to them in a way. And so I think that's a big part of the reason why we're here and why we're here at CMU and working with the students this week.
Amazing. So you kind of touched upon a little bit about raising up the next generation. And so anybody can take a swing, like I said. What advice would you give for someone who says, I want to do what you guys do. Like, I want to follow kind of like in that path that you've blazed for, you know.
Start now.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm the youngest member of the group and also the newest member. And something that is so important is that we, as young musicians, get out of our own way. We have such reverence is a word that I really like that Mark used. We have such a deep reverence for musicians. I have a deep reverence for the musicians that I play with and for the musicians that I encounter when we're on tour. And we sort of create a wall between us and them. And so my one word of advice for other young musicians is to start the process of breaking down that wall now. Don't allow the way that you perceive yourself to stop you from chasing your dreams and from getting the information and building the infrastructure to build the life in art that you want to live.
Okay. Anyone else want to take a shot?
Well, I would say that, and I love when Kevin honestly answers questions like that. We call him the professor because he's getting his doctorate degree at State University at Stony Brook in New York, where we live, by the way, New York City and the surrounding area. Because, you know, he does have a perspective that's closest to younger folks. So the idea of not being so caught up with what will happen in the future, but what you can contribute. I'm kind of riffing from Kevin's comment. What you can do now is very powerful. I think younger people maybe coming up, you know, college, graduate school, if you've recently just graduated, you don't think that you can have an impact. And I think history is showing, current history is showing how things are happening under the leadership of young people, whether it be climate change, whether it be, you know, gun control, these very massive, huge issues that are plaguing our society. In many ways, they're being supercharged by this generation of 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds. And so, you know, I think when it comes to music, we can learn, musicians can learn from that model. And, you know, you have a lot to say if you put that mindset on, you know, if you put that hat on to think, what can I really do? And so that's what we're trying to impart to folks that we are approaching, that we are engaging with through this residency. And that's that great opportunity that we have. And so we don't take it lightly. And, you know, if there's just one little iota of information that a student in one class that we talk to takes away, then that does our heart good. You know, we might talk to somebody for an hour and a half and one thing might spark something and they'll take that away. And I just have to give a little plug also that we run our own chamber music festival in New York City every year. We've been doing that for 12 years now. And we not only coach from a musical point of view, but we have a concert series that's a part of the festival. And we do these kinds of talks. We have people come in that are experts in the music business field, in entrepreneurial endeavors. And we bring people to indeed show our constituents, which are mostly college age students, that there's so much that you can do. There's so much you can do.
I have one more thing to add, actually. A lot of times we talk to students or young people who don't fit into the mold of classical music, be they people of color, younger than the average people, older than the average people. Maybe they have anxiety, or they battle bipolarity, or something that is something they feel that holds them back. It could be because they're shy. It could be because they're too loud. There's all sorts of, it might be their hair that they, you know, young people just, I think they're feeling like a lot of people don't fit into what they, classical music especially, is. And I would say to you, if you know somebody who is in that mold or somebody who is struggling with that, tell them that they are not alone, or if it's you, you're not alone. And that there are a lot of people who, through their what they perceive as a negative aspect of themselves, they might perceive as a negative aspect of themselves, or other people perceive as a negative aspect of themselves, therein lies their strength. And therein lies their way to change this paradigm into something that can be even better. So I think looking at your differences as something that is needed and can change things is even better than thinking of it as a way that is keeping you apart. So that, of course, when you're forging a new path, there are brambles in the way, but I think on the other side and through the struggle is joy. I remember, I think it was Alice Walker who wrote the secret of joy is resistance. And I think I just put that out there to the radio community now.
Thank you for everyone sharing your words of wisdom. So is there anything else anyone wants to share with me today?
Yes, in fact, I would like to share that Imani Winds not only functions as the touring ensemble that we are, but we are also a nonprofit organization. Everything falls under the Imani Winds Foundation. And so the things that we're talking about are commissions, our chamber music festival, much of the outreach that we do. We are constantly raising money for these endeavors. And so if you are so inclined to support us, we will take that support. We will gladly and appreciatively take that support. So please log on to our website, imaniwinds.com, imaniwinds.com, to learn more about the group as well as the foundation. You can give any amount, and also check out where we are around the country. Check out the other records in our discography. Learn about our outreach initiatives, and also be on our mailing list. So there's always some room at the table when it comes to the foundation family. So we thank you for any and all support.
Amazing. So I just want to thank everybody for being here. It was wonderful to hear the heart, the history behind Imani Winds, and to see maybe a group that's not so traditional to do it and to do it well. So I thank you guys for being here, taking time out of your busy schedule, and it was wonderful having you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.